You know, this is probably the third time now where I've been working on a message, working on a sermonette or something like that. And while developing the message, I received the CERN magazine. I don't know if y'all received it this week. I showed up home from work Thursday, went and checked the mail, pulled out the Discern magazine, looked at the cover of it, and I was like, oh no, that's my message. So I looked at the title. If you haven't received it yet, the cover title on the Discern magazine is Why is the World in Chaos? Well, the title for this message is Defeating Chaos. So you can see my concerns right off the bat. Well, with chaos obviously being the current topic, I guess, we need to ask ourselves then a question. Unfortunately, the message, the article in the Discern magazine was not in the same context and not the same content as this message, so I did decide to go ahead and finish it. But as I said, it is along the same lines, so we'll just go ahead and go with it. So we're going to ask a question, first of all. The first question we're going to ask is, what exactly is chaos? What exactly is chaos? And if you didn't get that title, the title for the message is Defeating Chaos. So the question we ask is, what is chaos? Well, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines chaos in this manner: a state of utter confusion or disorder. A state of things in which chance is supreme. The confused, unorganized state of primordial matter before the creation of distinct forms. That's an interesting one. We'll come back to that. The inherent unpredictability and the behavior of a complex natural system. Right, so that could be anything around us. That can be us. We're a complex natural system, right? So what this means is chaos is disorder, right? Something in disorder. Well, chaos is all around us. Chaos is all around us every single day of our lives. The world around us, as we know, as we watch the news, as things happen around us, is spiraling out of control. And spiraling out of control at a pace that is dizzying to us, and we can't believe how fast things are just going downhill, just going, you know, into disorder. You know, families are dissolving at an incredible rate. Jobs are hard to find. If you do find a job, the demands of this I want it now society make it almost impossible to keep up. We're working harder, we're working longer just to keep up with the things around us. You know, terrorists are striking every corner of the world, including our country from time to time. And our government is running amok, right? It doesn't matter who the president is. It doesn't matter who's in charge. If they won't fix it, it's running amok. It's a sinking ship. It's in disorder. It's in complete chaos. You know, we also, as we know, we're subject to chaos in our personal lives. Due to the unpredictability of those around us. Chaos, as I said, is everywhere at every single moment. So in this message, the purpose of this message is to ask two more questions. We're going to ask and answer, hopefully, when did chaos begin and how is chaos defeated? When did chaos begin, and how is chaos defeated? And that's going to be the purpose of this message, is to answer those. So we'll just go ahead and start with the first question. When did chaos begin? Well, we see in Scripture, in the very first book of the Bible, the very first chapter, and even the very first verse, a form of chaos was present on earth when God decided to reshape it for man, right? So we'll go ahead and turn there. We'll turn to Genesis chapter 1. We'll begin there today. Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to begin by reading verses 1 and 2. And this will be from the English Standard Version. So Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the earth. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now keep in mind, God is not the author of confusion. You know, we know this from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33, where it tells us God is not the God of confusion, but of peace. Right? So God is not the God of chaos and confusion. Therefore, something had to have happened, something had to have taken place to put earth in this state of disorder. The phrase was without form, or even more focused, the word was in this instance, is better translated became. Now, there are 75 instances of this Hebrew word hayah, and 53 out of 75, the meaning is become or came to pass. So that is the primary translation of that word. So it's listed as was without form in this verse, but really it's better translated became without form. So this shows us that something had to have happened to cause the earth to become without form and void. You know, there's a great deal of speculation as to the cause. Some believe the cause was when Satan rebelled and was cast down the earth and the destruction happened at that time. Some also believe that the earth was put into this form to be prepared for mankind, to be recreated and prepared. But frankly, Scripture does not tell us. It does not tell us how the earth got put into that form. So the ideas of why it was put into that form, as I said, are speculation. However, this message is not about the cause of the earth's chaos at that very moment. But nonetheless, we do know from this passage that the earth was, absolutely was, in this state of disarray. It was void of structure. It was in a state of chaos. It lacked its beauty and its magnificence. So this scripture, Genesis 1, verse 1, verses 1 and 2, is the very first recorded instance of chaos on earth. You know, the Merriam-Webster definition that we read, the confused, unorganized state of primordial matter before the creation of distinct forms fits this type of chaos of the earth at this moment. So the question we'll need to follow this up with then is, how did God correct this chaos? How did God correct this chaos that the earth was in Genesis chapter 1? Well, he actually did it very simply. Well, simply for him. We don't understand it, but simply for him. You know, God did this. God corrected this chaos with one action, with one specific action. So let's continue in Genesis chapter 1, now in verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. So by bringing light into the world, God put chaos in check. That was the first step. He changed the chaos at that moment with light. God overthrew darkness with light. Of course, after creating light, God reshaped the earth into something glorious. You know, He created land and he created animals, and then he went on to fulfill his plan by creating the first man and woman, Adam and Eve. And while in the garden, while following God's instruction, Adam and Eve bask in God's light. They bask in that light. God's goodness encompassed everything around them. The world was at peace, and it was in a perfect state. It was in perfect order. There was no disorder. There was no disarray. Chaos was gone. Chaos was gone from the earth. And God made this possible by, as I said, his first step, creating light. But as we know, because we're here, that was not the end to chaos, right? Chaos returned. Chaos returned to the earth, although obviously not in the same manner. It was only after Satan, with his power of darkness, you'll mention in Ephesians 6, verse 12, if you just want to write that down for your notes. It was after Satan convinced the first man and woman to sin that chaos actually came back into the world. This is when chaos returned. So we don't know the time span in between there, but chaos did return. So let's take a look at that in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. This is when chaos, as I said, returned to the earth. Now, this is a serpent. This is speaking of the serpent, which we know is Satan due to Revelation 20, verse 2. Using his power of deception, his power of darkness, to convince Adam and Eve to defy God and to eat from the forbidden tree, right? We know the story. But we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it," speaking of that tree, "your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." This was the lie, or this was the distorting of the truth, if you want to look at it that way. He distorted the truth and turned it into a lie. And as we are aware, Eve took of the tree. She ate of the fruit. She gave to Adam. Adam ate of the fruit, right? We know the story. We don't have to read the whole thing. But we will continue down in verse chapter 12. So Genesis chapter 3 still, we're going to continue on with this story in this context in verse 12. And the man said, the woman who you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. Throwing a little blame there. Then the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you've done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Throwing a little blame again, right? And the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life." Makes you wonder what he looked like before that, doesn't it? "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will surely multiply your pain and childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be contrary to your husband, but he shall rule over you." And to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree that I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the Greek ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth to you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So it sounds like a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of turmoil, a lot of disarray, a lot of chaos that they just brought upon themselves, right? Because of their defiance, Adam and Eve were forced to leave their life of peace, their life of order, and live in a life of difficulty, a life of chaos. The darkness of Satan had taken root at this time, and the entire world is now feeling that burden of chaos. Everything bad that happens to us happened because chaos was allowed to come back in at that moment. Since the days of Adam and Eve's disobeying God in Genesis chapter 3, the world has once again fallen into darkness, into chaos. So that will take us then to our second question. How is that chaos defeated? How is chaos defeated? Well, chaos is defeated in the same manner it was defeated the first time. Thanks to God sending forth his Son in the flesh, Jesus Christ, once again light appeared to the world. The light was not a physical light, of course, as we know, but this was a spiritual light. This was a spiritual correction. In John chapter 12, verse 46, you can write it down, but you don't have to turn there. John chapter 12, verse 46, Christ states, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Jesus Christ came to be that light in a dark world. He came as the light that cuts through the chaos, the light that brings peace, the light that brings joy, the light that brings comfort, the light that gives us hope for the things to come. He comes bringing the light of the truth, the light of God's plan for all mankind. This is what Christ brings. This is the light that he brings. He brings us hope. He brings us faith. He brings us comfort. He brings us strength. This is his light. Christ also came to bruise the serpent's head. You know, as we read in Genesis 3, verse 15, to crush the darkness, to crush that darkness of Satan. Christ came also to teach us all how to not only benefit from his light through the faith and the hope and the strength and the reassurance, but he came to also teach us how to spread that light, how to give that light to the world around us. As Christians, through Jesus Christ, we've also been given that responsibility of being a light. Being a light. Matthew chapter 5, if you'd like to turn there with me. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin in verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, beginning of verse 14, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all of the house. In the same manner, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So in this dark and disorderly chaos around us in this age, we are to be a light. We are to be a light to our family. We're to be a light to our friends. We're to be a light to the world around us. We, as Christians, as I stated, have the distinct responsibility to glorify God through our actions. But we can cut through that chaos of the world around us by standing strong in our faith, by being true to our convictions, by showing those around us that no matter what we go through, no matter what pain we encounter, no matter what chaos is thrown into our lives, no matter how difficult things become for us, we will always let that light shine. We'll let it shine within us, and we'll let it shine out to the world. God, as we read, is not the author of chaos. God created light to defeat the chaos of darkness. He did this in the beginning, and he did it again with his Son, Jesus Christ. God sent his Son to be that new spiritual light. And he also sent his Son to give us the example, and allow us the ability to be that same light. So the next time chaos seems to be overtaking us, fulfilling our lives, dragging us down, let's remember that with light, God stayed chaos. God defeated chaos. God caused the world to become glorious and perfect by adding light. Now, through the example of his Son, Jesus Christ, God has given us the same responsibility to let our light shine within, defeating the chaos in our life, getting rid of that, forcing it out around us, and also shine before the world as a beacon of the glorious things to come. Therefore, brethren, in times of chaos, in times of darkness, in times of pain, in times of disarray, let there be light.